Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and we've been looking at the role of songs in films. Now we turn to an artist who's had many hit movie themes throughout a nearly five-decade-long career. Dionne Warwick became a household name, partly based on the success of songs like this, the theme song to the 1968 film Valley of the Dolls. Throughout the 60s and early 70s, her cool, sophisticated voice graced many of the complex and layered songs of Burt Bacharach and Hal David. In all, she's had nearly 60 charted hits and has won 5 Grammys. This month, the New Jersey native is appearing with the legendary songwriter and film composer Michel Legrand. Dionne Warwick joins us here in our studio today. So nice to have you with us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
You and Michel Legrand, you've been associated with a number of composers over the years, but he's not really one we associate you with so much.
No, I met Michel in Paris, my first trip to Paris, in the early 60s. And he was, of course, writing at that time as well. And we've been friends for that long. This is the first opportunity that we've had to actually work together.
Wow. He did the he did the score for the Umbrellas.
Umbrellas of Cherbourg, yeah.
And a number of Yentl and Summer of 42, mm-hmm. Actually. I have a list here in front. I don't have to be remembering this. How much has your association, maybe not specifically with Michel, but with film music in general, whether it's Story and Andre Previn or mm-hmm. any of the others, how important was that in introducing you to a wider audience?
You know, at the time when the first one that I did was Valley of the Dolls. And Miss Parker, who was one of the stars of the film, suggested me to Lenny Hayton, who was the music person at the film company. And they got in touch with me, and I went out to Los Angeles. And it was the first time I had sung on the sound stage where they were actually doing the orchestrations, and worked with John Williams. Mm-hmm. So it was a real pleasure.
A very young John Williams.
A very
back
young
then.
John Williams.
So you once said, I don't know if you were exaggerating or joking, you said you were the 43rd person to record Alfie.
I was.
Were you really?
Uh-huh. And I also add, I was the only one to have a hit record with it, too.
Yeah. Now, Sonny and Cher had done a version of it. Was it Burt Bacharach who sort of turned you on to the song? Is that right?
No. I was there when they wrote the song, Bacharach and David. And they wrote it specifically for the film Alfie, of mm-hmm. course. And because it was being financed with the Sterling Pounds, they felt they wanted to have someone out of the UK to record it, and they gave the song to, I even have a hard time saying her name most times, Cilla Black, who did the title for the film itself.
But
and then there were like 42 other people that decided they wanted to do it, and they did. It was recorded by my sister, who has an incredible version of it.
Mm-hmm. This is Dee Dee?
Yes. God rest and bless her. Let's see.
But it's just amazing that 42 people recognized that this was a great song and tried to record it and yet didn't have a hit until you came. What did you do differently, if anything?
I happened to be the person that Bacharach and David wrote for. Mm-hmm. And it had a lot to do with it, you know, to interpret Hal David's lyrics, yet to love Hal David. And to sing Bacharach's music, you have to be a little crazy. So I'm a combination of both of those.
Dionne Warwick is my guest, and her recording of this song, the theme from Alfie, reached the R&B top 5 and the pop top 20 simultaneously in the spring of 67.
Is it just for the moment we live? What's it all about when you sort it out, Alfie? Take more than we give. songs are kind, Alfie, that I guess it is wise to be cruel. And if life belongs only to the strong, Alfie, what will you lend on an old golden rule? As sure as I've been here.
The song is Alfie. It was a big hit for my guest Dionne Warwick back in 1967, and part of what has been a long kind of connection to the film world. She is performing with the French film composer Michel Legrand and the singer Mario Pelchat at Avery Fisher Hall this Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and also performing with them tomorrow night up in Boston. Dionne, you said you have to be crazy to love Burt Bacharach's music. Why is that?
No, I didn't say crazy to love his music. It's crazy to sing it. No, Burt, how do you put this? He marches to his own drummer, and which was basically very good for me at the time, based on the fact that I was in college, at the Hart College of Music. So it was like taking an exam every time I went into the studio with him. So he helped me as much as I guess I helped him.
So you actually ended up getting a doctorate in,
yes,
in music education, mm-hmm, and you were getting a very different sort of music education,
yeah,
every time you walked every in the studio.
Every single time.
He's been on Soundcheck and has talked a little bit about, you know, some of the complex rhythms that it seems like they would spring from Hal David's lyrics. What was your...
You know, I don't quite say that because there were times when he wrote the melodies first and then Harold complimented with lyrics, and then there were times when Harold had lyrics and he would compliment them with music. It was just a wonderful triangle marriage that we had going on, and it worked.
Mm-hmm. How did you, I mean, the music writer Michael Azarad posted this comment on our page. Ms. Warwick, I think you're the foremost interpreter of Bacharach David songs and have always been particularly amazed by how impeccably you negotiated the complex time changes in Promises, Promises. He could have listed any number of others, so that's the one
so
that Michael wrote. How did you work out your vocal part to that song?
I looked at the music and read it, like everybody else did in the studio. It wasn't that hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after sitting in and listening to unfinished melodies or unfinished lyrics, you kind of get a feel for what they really were all about. And it never bothered me going from a 4-4 measure to a 3-4 to a 7-8. It never bothered me at all. It was just the way that Burt constructed the music.
So instead of sitting there counting furiously, you just go with the feel
Fortunately, I read music,
mm-hmm,
so it was quite helpful.
I mean, Michael mentions Promises, Promises, but there's another song, I Say a Little Prayer, which again has this mix of time signatures, including a chorus in 11.
Uh-huh. Has anyone had a heart? I mean, it meant nothing to Burt to throw in a 5-4 bar in the middle of a 3-4 measure. Yeah, it was
it meant
just
nothing
like,
to him, but you're the one out there singing,
yeah,
it, so.
Well, you know, I have a lot of friends in the industry, very, very dear friends, who have all asked me, how do you sing this stuff? I just do.
The song I Say a Little Prayer was another 1967 hit for my guest, Dionne Warwick, and another song from Burt Bacharach and Hal David.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. I'll comb in my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you. Forever, forever, you'll stay in my heart.
1967 hit from my guest Dionne Warwick, I Say a Little Prayer, written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. And Dionne, as you said, this was a nice kind of three-way collaboration, mm-hmm. for which, you know, withstood the pressures of pop stardom for a number of years. And then, what happened?
Well, Bacharach and David had a misunderstanding or a non-meeting of the minds and decided that they could not write together any longer and promoted a split.
Mm-hmm. And that was around 74, right?
It was in 72.
72.
Yes.
And now it seems like you and Burt Bacharach have reconnected. You stood in for him on relatively little notice at a concert in New Zealand for him. So
the three of us are back together.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Hal David. You know, it's like I've always said, we really bonded with a true friendship in the very early days. And even through that 12-year period of time that we really, literally, did not speak with each other, through the suit that had to be instituted. Friendships do stand the test of time. Even after a lawsuit. You know, it was a case of either I sue them or be sued by Warner Brothers Records, which I was not going to get sued by Warner Brothers Records. So I had no choice, you know, and I only sued them for what actually was due me. I didn't want anything any more or any less. I only wanted what was mine.
And 12 years later, it was water under the bridge. And,
well, sort of. It kind of came back together because of a television show called Find Out Lost Loves. And Aaron Spelling, who had commissioned Burt and his then-wife, Carol Bear Sager, to write the theme for the show, let him know that he wanted me to do the theme. Hmm. And in so doing, Burt had to call.
So now, when you perform, I mean, of course, the Bacharach David songs are a big part of your live
Absolutely.
Show. And in 2006, you did this duets album, My Friends and Me, which included a number of remakes, including a remake of I Say a Little Prayer with Reba McEntire, and your son Damon Elliott, was the producer.
The producer, yes.
Here's a little bit of that recording by Dionne Warwick.
Before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you and walk home in my hair now and wondering what dress to wear now. I say a little prayer for you.
Dionne Warwick here with Reba McEntire helping out. The album's called My Friends and Me. It's a series of duets with the likes of Celia Cruz and Gloria Estefan and Winona Judd and Gladys Knight. And so is music, when all is said and done, is music still about friends and family for you?
I think so. For me, it is. It's very personal.
And that's how you got into music. You're from a musical family.
I'm from a very, very musical family. Everybody in my family sings.
Your aunt Sissy Houston, mm-hmm. your cousin Whitney Houston.
Right.
You told me when you walked in here today that your other cousin is Leontine Price, which I didn't know. I mean,
that's
the amazing opera singer, also mm-hmm. a cousin of yours.
And my sister was quite a singer as well, Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm. And is on the most recent record called Why We Sing,
exactly.
A collection of gospel music. Now that really is going back to your earliest family.
That's my roots. And I was so thrilled that Edgar Bronfman Jr., who was like one of my babies, he approached me and asked me to do a gospel CD. And I said, you know, yeah, I think the time is right. After 40 years, I should be doing another gospel CD. And it was a pleasure. I was working with people that I happen to love very, very much, and fortunately, they loved me back. My church choir, my sister, B.B. Winans. You know, it was just a, well, how do you put it? A heartfelt set of recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wanted to be there and did the very best that they could.
And really, as I said before, sort of going back to your musical roots, I mean, you started with kind of a family gospel band, right?
Well,
not a band, but like...
No, my mother's group was the Drink Art Singers. Mm-hmm. My aunts and uncles and my mom made up that group. And my sister and two cousins and I made up our own group called the Gospelaires. A lot of people get it confused and thought I sang with my mom's group, but I didn't. Every now and then, there may have been an occasion where if someone wasn't feeling well, I couldn't make whatever the concert was for them, then I would fill in. But no, we had our own group, and mm-hmm. and I think we were as good as they were.
Well, there continue to be people wondering whether the Gospelaires were the backup vocalists on this hit or that hit, Stand By Me or whatever.
Yeah, we were.
That was you.
Yes, us.
And making the move from, you know, backup singer to being front and center, how difficult was that? How did that happen?
Well, it wasn't too hard. It's something I really never thought I wanted to do. I was very comfortable doing those oohs and ahs and that occasional yay-yay. And it helped put me through college, you know, made enough money to do that. And it wasn't a strange setting based on the fact that I did most of the Bacharach David compositions in the form of demonstration records. So I was a lead singer at any event during that period of time.
So you were their demo singer.
Yep.
That you were the voice that they sent out when they
That's
wanted
right.
someone else to sing one
exactly.
of their songs.
Exactly.
And at what point did Hal David and Burt Bacharach kind of look at each other and say, why are we sending this to other singers?
It wasn't them. They had written a song called It's Love That Really Counts for the Shirelles and sent it to Scepter Records. And Florence Greenberg, who was the proprietor, hated the song but wanted the voice.
Oh.
And that's when they approached me. Oh, there's interest here.
Now, we're speaking with Dionne Warwick. So the 60s, at the time that you made this transition from the Gospelaires to being the diva, you know, the one in this.
That's a word I don't...
You don't like that word,
don't tolerate it. Diva is a word that was created for people like my cousin, an opera singer.
Okay.
I don't sing
so
opera.
So Leontine Price is a diva. You're a singer?
I'm a singer.
Okay. Did you feel that the rock invasion, you know, the Beatles and the Stones, did that kind of push you off to the out of the mainstream
not
for a while?
Fortunately, no. Fortunately, what I was doing, Bacharach David Warwick had carved their own little niche out in the music world, so the Beatles were no competition at all with regards to what I was singing as opposed to what they were singing. As a matter of fact, this little girl from East Orange, New Jersey, knocked the Beatles out of the number one spot in the UK with Walk On By. So, you know, hey.
Turnabout is fair play.
There
you go. They came here and took over our
yes,
charts.
Yes, they did. My goodness, did they ever.
Well, clearly you've made your peace with the rock world because you've, you know, done stuff, obviously, with some of the luminaries of the rock world, especially...
Oh, yeah.
Especially for charity, you know, that's what Friends are for with Gladys Knight and Elton John and Stevie Wonder,
mm-hmm.
and We Are the World. I know it's a big question to ask at the end, but, you know, what do you think the legacy of those projects is?
Hopefully that they will continue to mean to people what they meant to us.
Which was what?
And the reason for them. We Are the World was to feed those that have no wherewithal in which to grow their own food or have not been taught to do so. And that's what Friends are for, of course, medically. The AIDS issue is still very, very much a part of our world. And, you know, with each time you buy, that's what friends are for, every single dime goes directly to AMFAR. And We Are the World, I would imagine that if we were to redo it, it would be for the same purpose. And being an ambassador to FAO, Food and Agricultural Organization, that song is very, very dear to me.
Dionne Warwick, my guest on Soundcheck today. She is performing with Michelle Legrand tomorrow in Boston, Saturday at 8 at Avery Fisher Hall, and details are on the website. Dionne, thank you so much for being with us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Tomorrow on the show, a history of music from the streets of New York and Ricky Lee Jones. Our engineer today, John Delore. Our program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer and Gisele Regatau. We had help from Rachel Kowal and Martin Sulkow.